sometimes you think you love someone, so you invite them on your podcast.
And then you realize what a complete bastard they are.
Which makes you realize you love them even more.
This is the Wayward Podcast.
Hello, Brianna Buckmaster.
Hello, Kim Rhodes. Hello, Krista Martin.
Hello, Brianna Buckmaster. Hello, Kim Rhodes.
Hi.
I love you guys.
I love you so much. And you know what I love almost as much is the dress that you're wearing. For the listeners who don't have the joy of seeing the beautiful Krista, is that she's wearing a dress that is covered in middle fingers. God damn it, it's good.
And my family was just saluting us.
Oh, you can stay. Thank you.
The middle finger means I love you.
Basically like saying I love you to me and Kim.
It means I love you.
It's so good.
So, Krista, we have never actually discussed fandom on the podcast. So for those who might listen to the podcast and not be aware of what the fuck we're talking about, Brianna and I met on a show
that cannot be mentioned.
How am I going to do this? I mean, the strike could probably be over after this airs, but I'm still not allowed to
talk about
this.
Probably shouldn't risk it, yeah.
So we met on a show. The show has an adamant and passionate fandom.
Yep.
We do conventions, and you started a relationship with us through identifying as...
a smartass.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you make sure you talk loud into that mic because get that up right next
heard.
To your face because we're going to hear.
When you gotcha.
Hear. Yeah, that's my girl. Yes, you identify as a smartass.
Yep.
Anything else? How did we meet you?
A fan.
Yeah.
I originally, as a fan.
And I would come to these and I've met so many of my people.
Yeah.
So many who came here to support me tonight and in general, and it's amazing. And I've met them from all over the world. And it's great because I also have places to stay if I travel the world.
That is also, and I think it is an underrepresented
reason to
be a fan.
I send family members to people, like my friend
really
from Dublin here. One of my cousins, Marnie, showed Timmy around Dublin.
See, like, Marty showed Timmy, and if you get Marty showed Timmy around Dublin.
Oh, I can't accent like, it.
I can't do it. I'm going to try. All of a sudden, showed Dublin, and then Donna shows up.
Marty showed Timmy around Dublin. So did you start your journey intending for it to be long-term, or was your relationship with the show and the fandom just supposed to be a one-night stand?
So I started watching the show in 2009. It happened to be over the hiatus. And I watched it all up to the break. And then I was, in theory, supposed to be working in the UK for like a year after that. And I saw this thing from Super Wiki on Twitter and saw there was these things called conventions. And there was going to be one in Rome. And it was over the weekend of my birthday. And I was going to... wasn't going to know anybody in the UK, you know, other than whatever friends I would have just made. I'm like, so let's just go see what this is. And that train wreck ended. No. So I met some of my besties who are here today.
Shout out to the besties.
So did you connect with other fans, or were you a solitary lover of the show and didn't connect with fans until the convention?
I didn't really connect with fans until the convention. I think we may have chatted online a little bit just to kind of get this is a new thing for all of us. What are we doing? And who's going by themselves? Who's going to want to hang out with? Who speaks what language?
Because I'm trying to think 2009 was kind of like early on in social media. Yeah. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Like it's probably when like Twitter was starting and it wasn't a huge deal. And now it's...
No, I think I got a lot of my info from Jules from Super Wiki on Twitter.
Yeah. And social media was so great for that, for like connecting everybody outside of the conventions who couldn't go to those conventions. And then you got to be like,
Yeah.
Where can I stay?
Well, and then after Rome, the creation event was going to New Jersey like 2 months later. And I grabbed my housemate and I'm like, we're going to this. You watch the show. You'll enjoy it. We'll just sit in the back, drink, and get to look at pretty people be funny on stage. And it's an awesome weekend. And I've dragged him to all of the local ones since then, too. He enjoys it.
So what surprised you first? I'm assuming that you went into it like, oh, I'm just going to, like you said, I'm going to go drink and watch some pretty people. Woo! Mm-hmm. What was the first indication that you were hooked?
Smart-ass comments flying back and forth. I specifically remember they used to have these cocktail parties. I was sitting across from Jason Manns, and I don't remember what I said, but probably talking to my friend Kat, and we were saying something, and Jason just goes, wait, what's your name? And I said, Krista, which is his wife's name. And he made this face like, figures.
So finding out that the celebrities actually are smart asses as well?
Yes. So and that they're all good people to each other. I mean, you know, to a point.
We're humans.
I'm one of these.
So the hook, you realized you had friendships in Rome. But the hook into showing your ass back up at these was Jason Manns, and specifically the fact that some of us are smart asses.
Yes. So I tend to gravitate towards the smart ass.
And vice versa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doing well training my nephews in such an art, too.
How would you define a smart ass?
I don't know. If there's a comment that's right there that you is funny in your head, even if you don't think other people think it's going to be funny, whatever, makes you laugh.
Like telling someone not to take candy from strangers?
Yes.
Yeah.
But sometimes we take it anyway. Yep. Because it's Twizzlers.
Because it's a fucking Twizzler.
Exactly.
I mean, even my brother and I do your mom jokes at each other, so.
I mean, come on now, they're the best jokes. And they're just, it's so little, you just sneak it in there.
Yep. And then my mom will respond like, hey.
I'm right here. Yeah.
That is not what I said, as a matter of fact. So what is your earliest like story memory of like, oh, I'm fucked for life?
In a good way.
In a like, I think I care about people as opposed to I think I'm passively enjoying this.
I think it was talking to Germans in the bar in Italy. Because I had an internship during my undergrad, so I lived in Germany for 6 months. So if I can't come up with English, German's the next best, especially if I'm drinking. So
that is, I mean,
do you speak fluent German?
No.
Oh.
No, but German is the land of beer.
Yes.
It is the language of beer.
Gotcha.
So I understand that. I'm with you on mm-hmm. that. That's your water if you need it. Oh.
Thanks. Yeah. I was so super lucky. Jensen was on my flight from D.C. to Rome.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was weird. Because I heard they called his name over the PA, like he needed to check in for something. And I noticed no one else made the little, like, meerkat poke up. I'm like, okay, I know where the lounge is. I know where he's going to board. I'm going to go just be like,
good
hi.
Good for you,
Chris. Hi, I'm not creepy. I just want to say hi. But then he was lovely all weekend, shockingly.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah. You're following me. Yeah.
The great thing about Jensen is that he loves broads that tell him to fuck off. Mm-hmm. He likes sassy people, mm-hmm. you know. I shouldn't say broads, people.
And tomorrow in photo ops, 50 billion people are going to be like, hey, fuck off. And he's going to wonder what he did.
He's going to love it, every inch of it.
So go back to I need more on speaking Germans in the bar. You just said you were talking to Germans. So it was about Supernatural, or what connected with your heart where you realized that this was a family and not an amusement? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Hard to answer, though. I'm not sure. I think it was we all had enough in common that we could keep the conversations going. And even if I didn't know the word, yeah, they knew what I meant.
And they understood the feeling. So the commonality of the experience
was great.
Able to bridge any gaps in communication.
Yep, I think so.
That is a fucking brilliant synopsis of what I think you do for the fandom as well, which is like the commonality of experience between us bridged any weird, like, because, like, I mean, for those of you listening at home and in the audience, the reason we've avoided fans, talking about fans, is because we don't, fans are scary. Like, there's a lot of responsibility, there's a lot of expectations, there's a lot of, and yet you have always approached us as human and expected to be seen as a human.
Yeah.
Can I tell a quick story that's related to this?
Yes.
This is my first, this is not my introduction to Krista, but this is like where I was like, oh, okay, this is you. Where I was like, oh, Krista's better than me. Is when we were doing Gish. And we were on a Gish team together. You remember?
Yep.
She was our captain.
She was our captain. And we got roped into, Kim and I got roped into doing Gish through Misha. I think, I don't know why we were on
Gish,
a team.
Gish, again, to bring up, because we never talked, Gish is the
greatest
world record shattering scavenger hunt.
Scavenger hunt.
And it was worldwide.
Greatest International Scavenger Hunt. Is that what it stands for?
And it was all over the world, and it was everything from like get a celebrity to sign your cat in Sharpie.
Yeah.
Or, you know, make a
get your cat to sign a celebrity in Sharpie.
Exactly. Like insanity.
It is very intense and people love it.
Yep.
And they do it. Had done it every single year, and they looked forward to it, and it brought people together in the same way that did conventions. However, it's a lot of work, and it's confusing. And anytime I'd be like, how does this work? Somebody explain it to me. And it just would go in one ear and out the other, and I'd again have no idea what was going on. But Krista, being our team captain, was such an unbelievable leader in so many ways. But my favorite was when we were on a text message with her and we were just like, we're doing it wrong and we're not. I will speak for myself. I was stressed out about doing it wrong and not doing enough. And Krista was like, hey.
We're a low stress team.
This is supposed to be fun.
We're not a competitive team. We were just a fun team.
It was just for fun. And I was like, I love that you were like, Brianna, calm down. Take a chill pill.
Go eat a snack.
Eat a snack. Enjoy your life. This is supposed to be fun. And I was like, that woman can stay.
We had a really good team of take it only as seriously as you want. You know, if you have to work all week, go to work. Like, if you want to do something, do it to the absolute best you can, but do not stress yourself out over it. You know, don't need to spend money. Don't do ever. But have fun with it.
A lot of people give lip service to that, but what they mean is, but if we don't win, I'll stab you in the head.
Nope. And we had no cares.
You had no attachment. I think that's what is so beautiful about you. Don't have attachment to outcome. You have joy in the moment of the experience, which is what bridges the communication gap.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So you are hooked because we're weird assholes. You're welcome. And then you became, did you know you were going to be a frequent flyer at the conventions?
I think I did after that first one where we could drive to New Jersey. And then I was going to a lot of the European ones because that's where I had made all my friends. And then I started making some U.S. friends. And that's when it really, you know, hit my bank account quickly.
Yes, exactly.
I wouldn't change it.
So would you say that the convention experience and part of fandom itself has as much to do with your fellows as it does the people signing the autographs?
Yes, definitely. Like, we talk about even if the Rome convention were to end, we would probably all still go and hang out, you know, and stuff like that. Like, I care more about seeing my friends than getting a piece of paper with Sharpie on it.
And that is music to my ears. As you know, Kim and I, we like to talk about how strange it is to be selling autographs. And we're so grateful that this is like an offering, and that I hope you guys know that you offer us the same, if not more. But the idea that you are not dependent on what we give, or even better, that you can take what we give and become bigger and better versions of yourself, mm-hmm. is the greatest thing that I could take from this scenario.
And now most of the stuff I don't need any more autographs. So I usually like give them to people who can't come and access them themselves.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, hey.
Yeah. No, I know. You'll put somebody's name in front of me, and I'm like,
yeah.
I thought I knew your name. I don't know anybody's name.
That's terrifying. That is a terrifying feeling.
I know you're Krista. Yeah. You cut your hair and
Krista,
changed
right?
your name. What happened? And you're like, it's not for me, Kim.
Yeah.
You're cool. It's fine. Well, so I did ask you to do some homework because you knew I was going to ask you about. So I would love to hear about some of your favorite moments and things that put you in this position, mm-hmm. because I love you for your presence here at the conventions, but I would love to know what parts of the conventions actually are why your presence is here.
I know a lot of it was more when Rich started hosting, and it was Rich and Rob and Swain. That was a big like, oh my God, I need to go to all of these now because they are just brilliant.
Did you know Loud and Swain before the
I did not.
Conventions? Okay. But you also attend a lot of their a lot of their concerts.
If it's, yeah.
Yeah, if it's possible.
Able to,
So it's Rich, Rob, and Loud and Swain.
Yep.
Why?
Because they have such a good time on stage, and we all have a good time watching them on stage, you know? Enjoying themselves, yeah.
I like that. The willingness to have a good time, and I say that all the time. I think if you're not having a good time, you will not last mm-hmm. on the convention circuit.
Right.
Because it's too hard, and because people won't fucking like you.
Yeah.
And it's nice to hear that I'm right about that. That like if you are drawn to people who are enjoying themselves.
Yep. And it helps if they don't take themselves too seriously, you know. Too.
That's good.
We talk about that a lot as, you know, my pals group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, is there anybody, I mean, like in this moment, and I'll cut it from the podcast, is there anybody you want to shit on that?
Now's the time,
like,
Krista.
Now's the time. I promise I'll cut it.
There is one big one. Fortunately, he's not supernatural.
Just in case you were just hearing lovely hold music, Krista shared some stuff with us that I'm not gonna.
You don't
put
get
on
to
the
know.
Podcast.
You don't get to know.
Okay, so Rob and Rich having fun felt
yep.
like inviting you to
yes.
as well have fun.
It was like being at my house on a Friday night with beverages with friends. Of course, their beverages were probably hidden better than ours, maybe.
All right, what else? Tell me other moments.
So I did make a short list.
We don't want it to be short. You have to fill up 45 minutes.
Make
You're
the whole
fine.
List.
Yeah. No, we're going to ask you to expand on all of these.
One thing that was possibly the funniest thing I have ever seen in my life was where Misha was coming late to stage in New Jersey one year, and Swain just ad-libbed, "Where's Misha?" The
like
song.
A song?
They were
an entire
they made
song.
Up an entire song yeah. of Where's Misha?
And it was, "Where's Misha? I don't know. I don't care." And Mark Shepard in the background going, "I don't care." It was fabulous.
That's awesome.
The improvisation yeah. that happens on this stage is impressive.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
Freaking amazing.
So the Where's Misha? Where's
yep.
Misha song?
I got a rim shot from Norton before Jared did.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
What was it you said?
I don't even remember.
You don't?
No.
Damn it.
Something stupid and offhand, usual.
Well,
you know?
But smart and funny, and I love the fact, so.
And being in, I was front row center then, so it was carrying more
yeah.
easily.
Well done. Norton. That's a great claim to fame.
Yeah. Yep. I don't think I've gotten a rim shot.
Rim shot.
I'm sorry. We just Phew.
Don't cut that, though.
All right.
I want them to know who we are. Okay.
And then there's a whole plethora of things from the Boston Con or Cambridge, whichever it was. So this list
Wait, there was a...
There was a con in Boston in 2012.
This was before I was on...
It was before our time. Go ahead.
Alona and Tracy were there, so, you know, couldn't have too many females.
Yeah, no, we were... Yes.
God forbid.
Okay, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that. I'll ask more questions.
But karaoke at that Boston show was off the hook. There was crowd surfing by both Chad and Sebastian.
I did hear about
that. Yes.
And Matt Cohen threw a chair. Like the whole next day.
Into the audience?
He's just like, I threw a chair. Did you see that? Like, yeah. Matt also at karaoke, because I was up on the stage, gave me some money to go buy all the, you know, talent a shot. But he gave me a 20. You know, this was back when there was still the bar in the back of the room at karaoke. I'm like, oh, bless your heart. Also, the con where you've probably seen the video where someone asked Jared about his wardrobe and the, you know, the socks that they have to wear. This is the infamous cock sock comment. It was a perfect welcome to New England.
Is that how we say it in? Yeah. Cocksack.
Cocksack.
Is that right?
Cocksack.
Cocksock?
He's like,
it's a Boston accent for cocksock?
Cocksack.
Where's Gregory?
Yeah, Gregory, right there. How do we say cocksock
in
Boston?
Go.
Cocksack. That's what I thought. I thought it was cocksack. But then all of a sudden I was like, is that Midwest? No, it's cocksack. Yeah. Okay.
But there were so many shenanigans at that. So my German friend Kat, also, she came over from Germany for it. And in Misha's panel, there was no one else in the front, so we had wine and cheese and crackers. And Misha's like, what is this, a picnic? We're like, yeah, you can join if you'd like, or continue on, whatever.
Yeah, we don't really care.
Yeah.
I have wine and cheese.
That was a bad con for icing with Smirnoff Ice.
With Smirnoff Ice?
The icing where you sneak it and then they have to chug it?
No.
It's gross. But we were in a meet and greet with Richard. Richard took us to interrupt Brock's photos to ice him.
Brock?
Yes, Brock Kelly. That's how long ago
that
was.
That is. But by icing him,
you
give him a Smirnoff Ice, he has to chug it.
Yep.
I barfed in my mouth.
Yeah. And I think the last thing at that one that was super funny was at Matt and Rich meet and greet. Both Rich and Matt were arguing over who was going to pay for everyone to have one drink. And I only found out this maybe last year, that either Matt wrote Rich's name and room number down on the receipt after claiming it. It was the other way. Rich wrote Matt's name and room number down. Yeah.
That's when everybody used to stay at the convention hotel.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was, as I said, I only found that out like 2 years ago. It's like,
oh my God.
Mind blown. That was amazing. Oh, and said aforementioned housemate Aaron also iced Brock on stage. He doesn't necessarily have the greatest humor. He gets it. Can't always pull it out. But he went up with this whole thing like, I've been following your career since Days of Our Lives. He was really laying into him. And do you mind? My friends and I were a bit crafty and we made something for you. And Brock's just like, yeah, sure, bud. You know, thinking, who's this weirdo? But so Aaron brings over the bag and Brock looks in and he's just like deflates completely. Just like, oh, how dare you?
So it sounds like it's like an alcoholic Rickroll.
Yes. Kind of, yes.
Okay. All right. Fair. I'm with you.
But at least, you know, he was a younger guy.
So this is back when we could all take our liquor and consumed liquor.
Yeah.
And it was allowed.
It was great.
Her. Okay.
It was fun. I also met Jen Gregory at that one. Yay. Really, a lot of I do have very vivid memories. Very vivid memories of meeting each of my super, super good friends. Not maybe the first time, but the first time when I was like, oh yeah, this is a thing.
This is love.
This is happening.
This is love. Yeah.
And then my legacy is to connect all of them together. So
that's
I've done that.
Well, is it an appropriate time? I mean, I would like to talk about, so here, this is on you. I would like to talk about how you've seen fandom evolve, because you've been a part of it, and you're like a sponge. You fit everywhere. So there isn't like just one part of fandom that you're aware of and the other part's the enemy. So I'd like to know how you think fandom has evolved, how you think the conventions have evolved. Like, obviously, we used to, you know, what that looks like for you, how that feels like for you. And I would, if you're comfortable, like to talk to you about what your legacy will be and what we are going to make sure is here as a legacy. Now, that seems like not the place to start, because it seems kind of emotional. And
I'm actually, I'm pretty okay.
You want to start there?
I said I'm pretty okay.
Okay.
More worried.
All right. Yeah, you fuckers are gone. You gonna have some feels today. All right. So let's start by, what is your perception of the convention changing? Because I've been doing them for like 12 years. And like you said, we started with two women at a convention. Inconceivable. And now we bitches is all over the place.
Yeah, it's great.
Would you say that the fandom also used to be males? Not males, but focused on the men, and now have been like, women rock too.
And I think some sections kind of still are. I don't mean sections like fandom factions or anything, just depending on where in the world it is, because it depends who they get for guests sometimes, you know.
What do you think changed the fans' minds? Because I know you were always...
I think you guys, you two, partially. And Felicia Day as well.
Felicia?
You two and Felicia Day, definitely. We're all like, we know her. She's our nerd. She is one of us.
Okay. So the fact that, again, you wanted this the experience bridged the communication.
Yes.
Because you always felt like one of us, too. You didn't like.
Except
like,
I was paying, not getting.
I know. Dude,
I know.
If we could have changed that, believe me,
we pay it a different way working with those men. Yes.
So, how else have you seen the conventions change?
Really, the biggest one was actually. When I first went, I didn't go to karaoke because I am not a karaoke person. I can't sing. I think karaoke is like torture, and you have to be drunk to be at it.
True.
Although then it hit a point here where it was getting pretty good, and it was really fun. And then things get ruined because people ruin things.
What happened? Oh, karaoke?
Yeah. She means like karaoke was fun because it was kind of... wild.
Yeah.
It started to become a big party, and then it became too much of a party.
And then
party.
It became, I'm just going to use this as an excuse to get free photos with people on stage.
I got my ass smacked once.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're like,
people. I think DJ's doing a really awesome job with karaoke.
I haven't been back since he's there because we are usually out at dinner and doing
so
stuff.
So what you saw was an evolution in the proprietary response of some of the fans.
Yeah, I think so.
Forgetting that we're human.
Yeah.
And starting to take bigger and bigger pieces.
Yep.
Like, I do remember when people would just like, this is selfie time, and we're like, I guess we all do selfies now, and everybody
it's like, handle your shit. Learn when stuff's appropriate. Handle your shit.
And also have the experience versus having a picture of the experience.
Yep.
I hear you. Yeah.
Great. That's fucking... So a point happened where it kind of mushroomed into people not handling their shit anymore, which makes... So your point is a beautiful one, which is like, it doesn't just make actors uncomfortable. It makes the entire experience uncomfortable.
Yep. Like, there was a point where I was trying to bring my camera and flash to karaoke just so other people would stop jumping in. And I'll be like, I'm putting all of these photos online. You know, if you're up there singing, I have photos of you, you know, so like, handle yourself. But
okay. Yeah. All right. And so
what and then the next big thing was definitely Rich being a host.
Yes.
That was,
I know that when Rich came, my understanding is that when Rich started hosting, he changed not just the dynamic, but just
yeah.
the formula of the show.
Yeah.
And now it has become a show. The weekend yep. is a show. The players are players in the show mm-hmm. in itself. And my understanding is that the conventions themselves are almost adjacent and inclusive of the fandom of the mm-hmm. show. The fandom convention fandom is adjacent and inclusive of the show fandom.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some people that come to the conventions that haven't even seen the whole show.
Yes, note my family role right there.
I'm with you.
That's okay. We don't want you either. We don't want you either.
Except my dad.
So, we can't cut that. I guess Richard Speight Jr. will get to hear that he
I've told him
elevated the entire fucking fandom. Fine.
Don't give him that much credit. And the people at Creation, you know, yep. all of our friends yeah. who I know are in the audience.
Well, and also, again, let's not underestimate your willingness to show up for this. Mm-hmm. And like,
we always made our own fun.
Yeah.
If we had to, you know.
Yeah. So you guys are loving on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Then things started happening, like alcohol being removed, mm-hmm. and celebrities are staying in a different hotel.
That didn't matter. The hotel thing.
Good.
Yeah.
That's what I was gonna ask. It's like by this time you guys were a team.
Yeah, and also at that point it was funny because like I'd get in an elevator. Ton of people and Ostrich coming back from the pool. And he'd just be like, hey, Krista, like, hey, no.
Have you talked to Ostrich, by the way?
I have not.
Okay, I will text him for you. Because I don't know if he's on one of the big text threats. Mm-hmm. Text threats.
Good point, yeah.
Yes.
And like hearing stories about Julian scaring people in the elevator because you're like, oh, God, it's death. I'll take the next one. You know, just little stories like that. But other than that, I'm glad that you guys have your own freedom, your own space.
Run away.
Yeah.
There's only so much peopling we can do. All right. So we covered the evolution of the fan of the creation. What about the evolution of the fandom itself? Have you seen, because I will just say, I notice mm-hmm. just in the last like 4 years, a new generation coming up mm-hmm. that is watching this show on streaming devices, and they're just so happy to be here.
So what's funny is one of my brother's oldest friends, he's coming here this weekend with his two daughters, who they insist I introduced them to Supernatural. So.
And how old are they? Oh, they're young. Yeah. Are they old enough so
we have to watch what we fucking say in front of them? Yeah. That's my concern.
No, no.
Okay, good. All right. Great.
There's warnings. You don't know their dad, but
we
no.
warnings. We have warnings.
You definitely do not.
So younger, but also less, like my first introduction to the fandom was saying something wrong and getting mm-hmm. dog piled on.
Yep.
And I feel like now that it's not on the air anymore and it's streaming, that it's a little more like, but don't we all love it? We all love it.
That's how I always kind of was. So I don't know. I didn't get involved in shipping. It just wasn't my thing. Other people, you can do whatever you want. Like Orlando Jones used to say, ship all the things. You know, like ship baby in the TARDIS.
Have you been reading my diary? Oh, that wouldn't they make a beautiful child, though? Oh, my God. She'd be bigger on the inside, but so fucking sexy on the outside.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So I usually tried to stay out of if there was like drama.
Yeah. I try to as well, but sometimes it finds me.
Yeah.
And then what happens the worst is I don't know that much about the show. And I don't know that much about the fandom and the history of the fandom. So I mm-hmm. have stepped in it before and invited the drama in. Mm-hmm. And it's hard when you're like, I just didn't know. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. But yeah, we don't want drama in fandom.
Yeah.
We want what you bring to fandom, to have, which is love, which
my,
is...
My list of people who I read was just like, okay, people I've met, you know, friends, not just general. And I asked Jules before I step in anything.
Oh, that's smart. That's smart. Yeah. Ask a
I
wiki.
I ask Kim. Yeah. Get a phone a friend.
Well, okay. So now, again, I'm gauging your comfort level. For anyone who, are you comfortable explaining why you are, besides the fact that we fucking love you and you're a smart ass and you're the perfect one to represent fandom, this weekend is KristaCon because we're creating a bucket list. Are you willing to tell us about that so that we can tell you some of the legacy shit that we are building up?
So in just go, in early 2021, my cat, I had just gotten, he thinks he's either a monkey or a parrot or something, and he climbs me. And I look down, and there's a scratch, and it's this freckle that's really, really big and really, really dark. Turns out it's melanoma. It had spread to a nearby lymph node. So had surgery, had those removed. Then everything's good, you know, getting checked every few months, like serious checks. Everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. This past December, it had spread to more lymph nodes, so they removed, in case you ever see R2-D2 in the aisle with my leg on it, because I don't have lymph nodes there, so the doctor and the surgeon are like, yeah, if you can keep your leg elevated, do that. So then, again, everything's fine, everything's fine. Except then coming back from Europe, both the Rome trip and then I was in the UK for work for a week, like my jet lag was just hanging on, and I couldn't shake brain fog and everything. And they finally got me into an MRI, and the melanoma has gone to my brain. So this is a, I don't know, my sister-in-law probably knows specifically more because I can't remember medical words. Also brain tumors, so. Also, it's never too soon, I joke. Yeah, but I'm happy that so many of my supernatural friends are all here, and my family came down, and even, you know, family members who have no idea what the show is, namely my sister-in-law and my brother. Yeah.
Well, what we did is we have this massive group thread, and it was pretty fucking, I should probably actually screenshot some of that shit for you, because that's how I roll, because it was a universal, oh, fuck. Because you are so integral, important, beloved to our experience on stage. Like, you are now a part of what we do. You are a part of what we do. Like, you think, I'm also going to have to, spoiler alert, I'm going to have to text you because you apparently know all of their favorite treats.
And I know what?
You know all of the handlers' favorite treats.
Yeah.
And I'm going to need to get that from you.
Mm-hmm.
So that, yeah. So so in terms of shit that will persist after you are gone,
mm-hmm.
That is going to be implemented in the next convention, which we are also assuming will be bucket list 2. We're okay to have a number of Goodbye mm-hmm. KristaCons.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, exactly. Bucket list 2 of Electric Boogaloo. We already have a, Rich is going to make up the shirts. It's not just the actors that you are passionately committed to mm-hmm. taking care of.
Well, I have worked as a team member a few times, and I know how exhausting those days are. So if we get to a grocery store or something before the weekend, I try to buy like either a big bag of candy or a big box of cookies or something, because just the absolute relief and joy on people's faces at the back of the auditorium when you're like, hey, have some calories, something.
Some energy.
Like, or just have a portion of my brain that is dedicated to your existence. And you're so, it's like, I find it oddly ironic that there is cancer in your brain when your brain is so capable of being so full of thinking of so many at once.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the lesson is, wear sunscreen and be a selfish asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you leave brain space for love, like, you've just got so much room in there. So one of the things we're going to do is have laminated signs with a picture of you, and it's going to be a pretty picture. We aren't going to, I mean, unless you want one of those. And it's just going to say, have your handlers eaten yet? And it will have your picture on it so that people like me who need to be reminded to think of other people will be reminded every time we walk in that green room. Mm-hmm. The other thing you do, so it's not just the handlers. It's not just Rich and Rob and the actors and us. You are a thoughtful angel for congoers because you've been doing this for a long time. You know a lot of really important things. And then there are these poor, precious Bambies running around going, I didn't know I had to bring snacks. So you apparently bring a dedicated bag of snacks for people who need to get gluten-free or vegan
or diabetics.
So you have a dedicated bag.
Because we'll get snacks for ourselves too. Right. And, you know, if you've got carrots and dip. Yeah, you can
cheese
eat this.
And wine.
Okay, yeah. Here you go.
So Random Acts is going to sponsor, which will also be in effect next convention, Krista's snack bag.
Aww.
So when people register, it's going to say, do you like sharing snacks? But you might not have enough snacks to share. Put your name and your seat number right in here. And you have to be here all weekend. It has to start on Friday. None of this like just set. And Friday morning, people will get to their seat. Somebody will be chosen. And there will be a backpack that has been embroidered by Becky in the design of Gish. I asked Krista what her favorite color was, and she said Gish. So this is Gish. So it's going to be fucking mayhem, and there will be glitter and tinsel.
Mayhem.
And it will say...
They're going to say glitter and tits.
Glitter and tits. Glitter tits.
Glitter tits.
It'll be glitter tits. Wouldn't it be funny if that's actually what it was? And they, with instructions of make sure anybody who needs these gets them.
That's awesome.
No announcement. No gift, no nothing, because the other thing that is so unbelievably touching about your presence is you are undeniably powerful. You are a pivotal presence of this entire experience for everyone. And yet, you are honestly one of the most humble, non-demanding human beings I've ever met in my life. So to truly keep your legacy moving, it isn't they were like, should we make an announcement? And there's a free gift and there's a guy. I'm like, no. Somebody with Krista's legacy is going to want to give.
Feed people.
Feed people.
It's snacks.
It's an Irish.
Feed people.
I mean, it's an Italian heritage
it's
thing.
It's an Italian heritage thing. But with nothing in return. You have never asked for anything. And Krista, we want to give you the world.
Love you guys.
I'm really, really, really happy to know you.
You guys.
Is there anything else you would like to add before we have to wrap this podcast up?
Be kind to each other. You have no idea what anyone else is going through. Be kind. And also, be your own weird. You don't have to be anyone else's weird. Be your own.
Yeah. I like that. We'll post that, too.
Yes.
Those are the things I'm trying to teach, like, my nephews and my niece.
You know what? We can probably... I mean, this has been recorded.
I think that was a Gish line. I have a shirt that says, believe in your weird.
Believe in
and
your
it says,
weird.
It
your
says,
weird.
Be you in like different color.
Instead, I can do that. We can do that. We can also make sure that they get a recording of that because I hear someone pushed record on the machine for me. So this has all been recorded.
It's always good.
You're going to wait for a second. We're not actually done. So in summation, I love you, Krista Martin.
I love you, Krista Martin.
I love you, Kim Rhodes. I love you, Brianna Buckmaster.
Thank you.
Thank you. I love you.
We did good. Okay.
Thanks.